There is a pressure like never before on discovering and pursuing your life's purpose. So many people today live looking for purpose and feel unfulfilled when they are living for themselves. And it makes sense. I've been there. I understand. I used to rely so heavily on my own accomplishments to give me purpose, whether it was through academics, athletics, or titles. I used it as a fuel to get through my life. So if there wasn't a win, I didn't feel any purpose. And I think that a lot of you probably feel the same. And I think I know the reason why. I think it's because you don't know or you're not fulfilling your ultimate mission, what you have been created to do, which is to point people towards Jesus and the kingdom in your own God-given way. We've made it more about ourselves and less about Him. So this is not an episode about, you know, dropping everything to start a nonprofit or a business or moving across the ocean to share with other people groups and cultures. That may be your thing, but most likely that is not your call. This episode is going to encourage you to start small, be obedient right where God has you, right in the middle of your surrendered faith. Does that sound familiar? Do you know your mission in life? All right, let's dig in. Let's go. Welcome to Faith School. This podcast is for women of faith who are ready to be transformed from the inside out, to integrate their life and faith, and to begin a life on mission. This practical podcast is not just a list of how-tos, but it's here to prompt you to take action and adopt the kingdom way of life. Surrender to a holy, holy God. My name is Leah, and I'm joining you in the messy middle of a surrendered faith. Come on in, take a seat. Class is now in session. To those of you who are new to the podcast, welcome. And to my old faithfuls, welcome back. I have to say that one thing that I get a little sick of hearing is how the modern Western church does not care, that they're not active in their communities. We've heard it all before. We're seeing it all over. There are people that think that we do not care about the greater culture or the greater community. And I would say that I don't think this is entirely true. There are amazing churches who are doing unreal work for the kingdom of God, and I think that we cannot miss that. But I would ask, are we leaving it all up to ministry workers and church staff? I think that is another question entirely. Are we leaving it up for other people to do the work of the church and just kind of handing over our money to them? Or are we actually stepping in to do our part? And you may already know your part. You volunteer faithfully. You have maybe a job in ministry already. But I don't want you to tap out of this episode because I want to explore more of the day-to-day ministry that everyone can participate in. And this is something that I call personal ministry. So what is a personal ministry? Personal ministry is committing to a personally initiated, intentional, kingdom-centered ministry. So, as always, it is submitted to God, it is led by the Holy Spirit, and it is really living into the season that you have and being obedient right where you are in the day-to-day small things. And sometimes those small things are going to kind of blossom into maybe bigger ministries. You know, for me, I would say that I've had that before. I started doing something like December, and I was doing it just on my own, and like, oh, this is great, I'm learning so much. And then I partnered with my church and we made it into something bigger. But the personal ministry didn't start when I partnered with the church. It started when I did December in the first place. And for those of you who don't know what December is, it's an anti-human trafficking campaign. I wear a dress every day in December and raise money. So that was a personal ministry that I chose for myself, was that I was going to wear a dress every day in December. And then I decided to kind of take it a step further and partner with my church, and we made it into something a bit bigger that more people could participate in. And that when I was actually educating people and raising money with them. So what I really want to focus on is more the smaller thing, in that it can turn into something bigger, but we're going to focus more on what is the step that you can take today. I think in our current culture, we take a lot of steps towards our personal kingdoms. How can I build my kingdom today? When instead, we should be on mission with a powerful God who brings so much adventure to our lives through serving Him as we reveal His kingdom to the people around us. Guys, God calls us to live radically different from the culture. We are not here to build our own kingdoms. We're not here to just take steps towards our goals for our own sake. although I'm not against goals. I mean, come on, I love goals. But I would ask, are we building up those goals? Are we writing those goals with the kingdom in mind, or is it only for ourselves? We have a culture that really values the self. You want to find the true self, my inner self. You know, it's very self-focused. And God calls us to something that is radically different from that culture. He calls us to a life of partnering with Him in surrender and obedience. We're called to live in a way that is totally upside down, countercultural, self-sacrificing. It's just the call. It's part of following Jesus. He asks us to do that continually throughout the Gospels. And I think if we are not really evaluating our lives and asking if all of it is submitted to the kingdom, which we talked about in that integrated faith episode, then we need to maybe do a serious upheaval. We need to really think and consider, how does my faith apply to my life, my entire life, all categories of my life, so that integrated faith part, but then also how can I use what God has given me to intentionally serve? So not only is it submitted, but it is like, I am walking this out and I'm going to serve the people around me. I'm going to love them. And guess what? Love requires sacrifice of some kind. So if we're going to love people, we need to be ready to sacrifice. I found this article and I've been thinking about it, and actually heard about it in a podcast episode first, I should say. And I've been thinking about it so much ever since and thinking how different the early Christians were from their culture, from the culture that they were in the Roman culture, actually. And I found the article that the podcast was referring to is by Tim Keller, and I will link it in the show notes because I just think it's so valuable. But what I loved about it is that it showed five ways in which the early church was different from the Roman culture of the time. The early church dared to love. They invited others into the same loving community that they were in, even if it was a cost to their lives. They were willing to put it all on the line. They were willing to sacrifice. And our culture right now really is so Christianized that sometimes we miss how radical the early church was at the time. So here were the five things that made them different. Number one, the church transcended race and class, as opposed to being assigned to a faith simply because of your origin. Christianity was able to reach into every race, class, and origin and say, here's something for all of you. Here's something so beautiful that we want to offer it to all people. And you don't just get to have whatever your parents had or whatever your culture had or whatever your origin had. Here's something so beautiful that we want everyone to have it. And people could relate to it. All right, second thing was a community of forgiveness and reconciliation as opposed to kind of a violent, vengeful culture. At the time, not that there was no such thing as forgiveness, but it was not as prevalent as it is now. And we still struggle with forgiveness, let's be honest. But instead of, you know, killing someone or taking someone out because they wronged me, I have the opportunity and I have the desire, because I'm a Christ follower, to forgive. That's what ultimately what I want, is to be able to forgive them. That's something that was so different and it stood out at the time. Number three, hospitality to the poor and suffering, as opposed to the exclusion of the vulnerable. That just gets me teary. Just the idea that God loves justice so much. If you go back and I'm reading through the Old Testament right now, if you look at the Old Testament, it is full of like, God wants us to be just and merciful. That He wants us to make things right. And He wants us to have mercy on those who have harmed us. Going back to that forgiveness and reconciliation. Number four, they valued the sanctity of life as opposed to abandonment. So instead of leaving babies in a field for slave owners and for just anyone to kind of pick up and take and exploit, the Christians were going and saving those babies and adopting them into their own families. How beautiful is that? And then lastly, the other thing that made them different was that they were sexually countercultural. So there was a commitment of man and wife, something that we really take for granted here. We just kind of think of marriage as really tradition. But at that time, sex was more used as a trait of status. So men would sleep with slaves and prostitutes and just anybody in order to show their status, instead of being in a committed relationship, instead of having a sexual, any kind of sexual ethic. or, you know, biblical sexual ethic. I'm going to link the article for more details because there's a little bit more in there, but I just want you to get this picture of how so many people came to know the Lord because they decided to live so differently from the culture. And I've been kind of thinking about this, praying about it. How would that look differently for us today? Because we are kind of saturated with a lot of Christian ideas and values, some of which are now being turned on, of course, but they're a part of our framework and part of our structure here. But how would that look differently for us? And I think the thing I keep coming back to is that idea of community. We're such an individualized culture that I really think that if we really valued biblical community and we shared what we had and we invited people in, no matter who they were, I mean, that would be so different and so beautiful. It's something to think about. I don't have the answer here, but I would challenge any of us to kind of think, how can I live my life so counterculturally that people are invited in? And the fact is that we are going to have to be on mission, living out personal ministries in order for that to happen. It has to be like in our day-to-day lives that people see that we're really, really different and that we care differently and we sacrifice and we love differently. That it could start with a radical generosity and inclusion and forgiveness, striving towards more unity as a community, and really choosing to, as a community, worship God instead of the self. There are so many ways to reveal the kingdom of God, to really be the light that shines and draws other people to God. So I want us to get really creative and really think about, what does that look like for me personally? And I want to invite you to really take, if you've not done this yet, to really take our first steps together, okay? What intentional steps can you take to point other people to Jesus? And just remember that it doesn't have to be just evangelism. I think we get kind of hung up on that. There is so much more that we can offer the kingdom of God and offer people to reveal who he is. That goes beyond evangelism, although that isn't a crucial part, obviously. That's really, really important. But there's so many ways that we can share Jesus and maybe in more in partnership with evangelism than, you know, just evangelism on its own. All right, but after all this, I hope that you're wondering what your next steps are. What are your next steps as you go after your own personal ministry? All right, so I'm going to take you through a few things that I hope will bring some clarity and really give you some ideas, because I could give you a bunch of my own ideas, but you know yourself better than I do. And so, and you know where the Holy Spirit is guiding you, and you know, I hope that you are in tune and that you are listening for where he wants you to go next. But I will help you along here just to get you thinking and to get Holy Spirit really speaking into and pointing things out to you. Okay, so the first one is just to take a personal inventory. So as you're exploring with God and your own personal ministry, the first thing you need to do is you need to take some personal inventory. So first off, where are you at right now? Okay, so are you already doing these things and you don't even know it? Are you in a really busy season right now? What does life look like right now? Also, you have to think about your personality. If you're more introverted, then maybe you need to think about how, you know, you can challenge yourself to put yourself out there a little bit more, or that you really just retreat to areas that, you know, it's cool if you're introverted for that specific ministry. I know, I remember talking to Holly Girth about introversion, and she had some amazing things to say about what introverts bring to the kingdom of God in a very unique way. And it's such a good episode. We'll make sure that we link in the show notes. But she talked a lot about how introverts, they are able to quiet themselves and be able to listen to Holy Spirit and be able to communicate in a way that is just so different and so unique on their own. And so I just want to encourage you that if you are feeling that and you know your own personality, just think about, okay, how can God use me best right in my sweet spot that goes really well with my personality? Next is capacity. What do you have the capacity for right now? And now this is a tricky one because I think all of us would be like, well, I'm so busy. I just don't have time for any of this. But what I would say is after you've stripped it all down and you're like, okay, what is all submitted to the Lord? What is not? I would ask after that process, what do you have the capacity for right now in this season? Because life is always going to be busy, but we are still always called to mission. We're still always called to ministry in some form. And so just take a little time to think about that capacity, strip it down, ask yourself if all these things are what you're really meant to be doing right now, and instead then, okay, what really matters that I get to at this moment so that I'm living out a personal ministry. Next is your gifts, okay? What are your own talents, your spiritual gifts? What are the talents that you have? What kind of money can you offer? I mean, that's just being real. Some of us can be more generous with our money than others. That's just the truth of it, right? Like some of us have more to offer in that area than other people. But all of you have particular gifts and talents that you are able to offer the Lord and able to offer the kingdom of God and revealing the kingdom of God to others. So I often use this example, but if you are really good at cooking and or that you just enjoy it, maybe that is how you're going to be serving. Maybe that's part of your personal ministry, is that you are using that gift and that love of cooking to be able to serve others and bring joy to others and reveal God's kingdom. Okay, next. After you've done that little personal inventory and you've kind of gauged, you know, where you are and what fits well with your personality and all that, I want you to think about, what is the cause for you? What gets you super fired up? Where do you see pain that you would like to partner with God in fixing? What group of people do you naturally maybe tend to serve anyway? Maybe you gravitate more towards serving mothers, or maybe you gravitate more towards serving women who are in maybe more violent situations. Maybe you gravitate more towards the elderly or youth. So know the cause. What really gets you fired up? Where would you just feel like, oh, I just want to fix this pain in the world. I just want to fix this one thing. What would that be? And then where do you naturally gravitate towards? All right, third, know your people. Sometimes a cause is different than the people that you're trying to serve or that you were meant to serve. So are there people in your life who are in pain and need someone in the season where they are right now? Think about your friend circles. Think about your neighbors. Think about the people that you see in the community. Are there people in your life who are in pain and maybe need somebody like you right now? So I mentioned a few of these examples when it comes to like the cause, but just as a refresh, maybe you go towards new mothers, people who are going maybe in like mental health distress. I mean, right now in the midst of COVID, we're still here in the midst of COVID. Maybe, you know, you are meant to be helping people that are really struggling with their mental health. Maybe it's your daughter's friends who come over all the time. And you're like, I want to serve them in some way. I'm not really sure how, but I want to serve them in some way. Or maybe it's the neighbors that are around you. There's all sorts of kind of groups of people that maybe we gravitate towards a little bit more anyway, or who maybe the Lord is highlighting for you right now, that you are meant to step in and you're meant to serve them somehow. All right, so you've taken a personal inventory, kind of maybe have know a cause or you know the kind of people that you want to serve, but maybe there's something new. Where does God want you to grow right now? This is kind of hard to know unless we're spending time with the Holy Spirit, we're spending time with the Lord, and we're asking Him to reveal it to us. But I want you to start to pay attention to where God is leading you and what He's teaching you right now in this season, because that might be a key to what your personal ministry is going to be. I would also ask, what keeps happening around you that has really grabbed your attention? Are there certain causes right now or certain issues in the world or something that's really bothering you right now that has really grabbed your attention? Is God trying to draw you there? And that's something that you have to ask Him about. All right, obviously there's so many more things that we could explore. I would just say, before we put it all together, I would look at, okay, prayer, spending time with the Lord, being in scripture, really go through some of those spiritual practices so that God has the opportunity to speak to you and to where He wants you to go with this. Okay, so spending time with Him is going to be so important. Integrating Him into your life is going to be so important as you try to figure out what is your personal ministry. But let's put it all together, okay? How could your unique gifts and your makeup really serve a particular group of people or a cause? So I'm going to give you some examples of how we can put all of this together. Now that we've kind of taken in all this data and we've been thinking about all the causes and people and talents and all that sort of stuff, I want you to think about how can you put those all together to make some kind of personal ministry. So I'm going to give you some examples, okay? So number one, I talk about this all the time. I've already mentioned it on here, but I think it's really drives the point. Maybe you love to cook and you're in a season of life where you know so many new moms, okay? Let's serve them by making freezer meals or a casserole that they can just pop into the oven for a night of rest from the kitchen. Maybe you put a little note of encouragement in there with a verse or just something to acknowledge the difficulty of being a new mom. I loved when I had moms come over to me and recognize me and not just the baby, not just my son, but when I had people that came over and were like, I see you and I love you and I want to serve you. Oh man, guys, it made such a difference. All right, second example. Maybe you are really creative and you love pop culture trends. Maybe use those to create maybe like a social media account to serve an online audience for causes that you are really passionate about. We can use trends and humor and memes and all these sorts of things to really educate people on social. All right, and maybe it's just a small group of people that follow you on that. It doesn't matter. You're still serving those people. That's still personal ministry that you can do right in here in your own home. All right, third example. You see so many people in your community, maybe who are living on the streets, and it breaks your heart. How about you do an annual food and clothing drive, or you build some blessing bags that your kids can hand out whenever you see somebody who is struggling on the street? Those blessing bags are such a sweet gift. And I know that it doesn't seem like much just to have a few extra in your car or something like that, but it really does make a big difference, okay? I've seen this firsthand of people that just felt so grateful that they were seen and heard and loved in that moment. It seems like something small, but it makes a big difference. Last example, what if you were just like so stretched for time, okay? This is so many of us. We're just like, oh my goodness, I just cannot fit one more thing in. I'm not that organized. I don't know how to do this. Here's something really simple that you can do. You can hang out on the front lawn of your house. Why would that make a difference? It seems maybe a bit silly to say that, but it does make a difference. It makes a difference because you're seeing the people in your community. You can say hi to them. You can be a friendly face for the kids in the community if they need someone to talk to, or if they are maybe facing abuse in their own home. They'll know that your house is a friendly house where they can find help. You never know what some simple conversations on your front lawn, whether it be with children, adults, adult seniors, you never know what those conversations can do for somebody. You never know the kind of rest that someone can find in a conversation with you. And guess what? It doesn't take a whole lot more time. You just bring in what you're already doing out onto the front lawn for an hour a day. Or every couple weeks you go out there for a few hours, whatever the case may be. It might seem like something small, but trust me, it makes a really big difference. And it's intentional. So what do we need to keep in mind? First, whenever we're doing personal ministry, remembering that this is God's. This is not yours. This is the Lord's. And so we are leaving the results up to Him. And this can actually bring us so much more freedom. I remember when my mentor told me, let Jesus be Jesus. Leah, please just let Jesus be Jesus. And that brought me so much freedom. It brought me clarity. It reminded me that this is not mine, that this is all His, and that He does the spiritual work to move people. I am not the Holy Spirit. I am not Jesus. I am not God. And so I can just surrender these people. I can surrender these circumstances. I can surrender my ministry to Him, knowing that it is His, and that I just get to partner with Him. And such a beautiful, beautiful truth. Also keep in mind, you guys, that you can start any of this slowly. Take it slow. It's going to happen over time, and it might take many forms. You remember my Dresember example. It's doing Dresember by myself. It was small. And then eventually it grew, and it took on kind of a different form. Remember that you can find someone who is doing what you want to do, and you can learn from them. You can be their disciple. I've had Lori Taylor on here before. It's such a good episode. She's just so dear to me. But I spent a whole year just being discipled by them, being shown what it was like to really serve people who had come to Canada, who are new to Canada, and just serving people who felt like they were outcasted. And it was such a beautiful year of my life. I learned so, so much because I was watching somebody in their zone of genius, I guess you could say, or in their zone, and I was learning from them. Just being present with them and observing. And so if you want to learn about a different ministry, about a personal ministry, maybe ask someone who's really good at it to show you and just to be present while they're doing their thing and just learn from them. There's so much value in that. And also keep in mind that this matters to God. The call for us as believers is to be on mission and to reveal the kingdom. And it is a call that we just have to take seriously. I want to say this as nicely as I can because I know that a lot of you, I do not want to put a pressure on anybody, but I do feel so strongly that oftentimes as women, we get really caught up in our feelings and how God makes me feel and not what is my role in the kingdom. What does taking action look like for him? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say this as kindly as I can. I have grown and I've been sanctified and I have been encouraged and I have been transformed by being on mission, by actually walking this out and actually serving people. I've learned so much about the heart of God. I've learned so much about his character. I've learned so much about how he sees people because I've been there with others who are struggling, how much he loves them. And the more that you are doing this, the more you have to rely on Holy Spirit or you're going to like burn out. It really is an exercise in trusting him. There is no better way to learn trusting God than by being in ministry, even if it's your own personal ministry. Trust me. All right, so let's conclude this. We have been invited into such a freeing adventure that is filled with unexpected blessings. And like I just mentioned, sanctification when we are doing personal ministry. I would love to see this community of listeners to really show the world the power of his love. A love that sanctifies and heals and transforms, redeems, brings light, and it brings hope to all people. One that is active and alive. One like the early church that we talked about at the beginning. It's different. It offers something beautiful and different, and it's active. And I would love if we would co-partner with him in the kingdom, to follow his ways, to use us to reveal to the world that he is the king, that he is the way and the truth and the life. I'm inviting you into this adventure of personal ministry, knowing for a fact that this is the call on your life, knowing that you are going to feel so much more purposeful, that you are going to feel so much more free. You're going to rely on the Holy Spirit like you've never relied on him before. And it is amazing. And so I just want to bless you. I want to encourage you. And I can't wait to see how you're going to get creative with personal ministries and how God is going to use you. It's just so exciting. So join in the adventure, participate with him, really think about what is your role? What is your personal ministry? Okay, that is all for today. So if you want to catch me on the socials, you can find me at leah.rempel or at faithschoolpod on Instagram or in our Facebook group, Intentional Women of Faith. I am so happy to continue serving you on those platforms. Thank you for spending a little time with us today at Faith School and I-68 Ministries. We are praying that you feel fully surrendered today to the God who made you, loves you, and wants to partner with you. Class is now dismissed. Go out there and reveal his kingdom.